Mike, thank you for making singing so special today. It really was special. I have to say, though, I still think that group one is the best. Teacher wanted, must have the wisdom of Solomon, the patience of Job, the courage of David. Must teach like St. Paul, lead like Moses, and stay cool under fire like Shadrach. The criteria for being a teacher can be pretty complex. There are all kinds of things that can come up in the process of teaching a class, no matter what class it is. Teaching is a noble activity, something critical and something very important. In Matthew chapter 28, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Jesus is saying that as part of the Great Commission. As he commissions his apostles to go out and do the task that he has given them to do. Teaching, not just bringing them, but teaching them as well. And we want to honor today the people who are doing that. Teaching a Bible class can be a lot of things. It can be a great joy. Mike mentioned earlier pew packers. And some of you may remember pew packers. You got everybody down in the front row. And I learned very early that you could just get broken up by the things the kids would say. You could ask questions, and they had all kinds of different answers. When microphones kind of got popular, I would talk on the microphone, then let the kids answer on the microphones. I learned not to do that. They frequently said things that you didn't want everybody to hear, and so you'd kind of go past fairly quickly. Teachers plan, they work everything out, but it doesn't always go like they plan for it to go. I was teaching a class some years ago at Guthrie, and in the middle of class, you just heard this little voice somewhere about 3 years old yelling, "My mama will beat me! My mama will beat me!" over and over again, just at the top of his lungs. And the mama was actually in my class, and the first time she heard it, she was just terrified, you know, what in the world is that child doing? And he tore out the back door to go find what was going on. Well, the teacher in the class had planned to do some thumbprint characters. And you take the child's thumb, you put it on the ink pad, then put it on the page, and then you can draw around that little thumbprint. Very easy thing. But the week before, this little boy had found some magic markers. And so he had proceeded to paint his entire body with magic markers, face, arms, hands, feet, everything. Mom was not having a good day, and she admitted that she overreacted just a little bit out of frustration. But the child had gotten the message very, very clearly. And the sad part was the teacher was going, "I thought it was a good idea." You know, she was just overwhelmed that everything had gone just so poorly. There's nothing like that light bulb moment, though, when you get through. Whether it's children, or with teenagers, adults, when people understand. It's just amazing, and that process is so rich that as a teacher, you're just like, I want to do that again. It just means so very much. Not saying that teaching class is easy. It's not. There's a lot of preparation. There's commitment. There's reliability and dependability and all those kind of things. When I was about 30 years old, it dawned on me that I had taught every age except the twos and threes. So I signed up to teach the twos and threes at Vacation Bible School. That was a learning experience beyond so many others. I look at people who teach preschool and go, wow, you know, you deserve a special gold star. The kids were just going wild. I called my mom, who was teaching behavior mod at the time at UCO, and at OCU, rather. I said, what am I going to do with this class? And she said, give them goblin cups. I said, what's that? She said, just give them a plastic cup, and when they're doing the right thing, just put a Fruit Loop in it. I said, how would you explain that to a bunch of 2 and 3 year olds? And she said, you don't have to. Just do it. They'll figure it out very quickly. She saved me. It just made the class a totally different. The students can be taxing. The parents can be taxing. We look back on our past, perhaps, and think about the people that taught us. I can remember being in Bible classes where the teacher had virtually no materials at all. A flannel graph was a big deal. You know, the teacher would get out the flannel graph and say, okay, this is the prodigal son. We'd say, no, no, that's not the prodigal son. That's Joshua. No, he was Joshua a month ago. He's the prodigal son today. He didn't even have enough characters to tell all of the stories. And they would work, and they would do such a great job. Sometimes we get a little too hard on our teachers. There was a lady in Houston. I won't tell her name. I was about to. She loved teaching the 4 and 5 year olds. And one of the things she loved so much about it was she baked something for them every week. And we had a group of parents that were like, we don't want our children eating sweets. And so we don't want her to teach anymore because we don't want our children doing that. And she was such a warm and loving lady. She just would just take the children and envelop them into her life in so many different ways. And they learned so much from her about how to love. And a lot of us who would like to have been in her class. She was very loving and she was a great cook. Very, very good stuff. Virtually everybody here today is here because of a teacher. Somebody took the time to teach you. It may have been in those early Bible classes. It may have been somebody at your house. It may have been someone in your extended family. It may have been someone that you encountered at a later point in life. But we don't come to know about God typically unless somebody who loves God starts to tell us about that and starts to interest us in what God is doing for us and how God loves us. And those great Bible stories that can be told with such skill and such ability, it really comes to the place where that's just a wonderful opportunity. And we get to experience that because somebody cares. And this morning, we're going to acknowledge some people who care. They care enough to take their time and to prepare to deal with the adventures of the class so that they can share what God has for them to share. I'd like to share two passages with you quickly. First one is Proverbs 7, verse 2. Keep my commands and you will live. Guard my teachings as the apple of your eye. How do we know those teachings? We know them because somebody shares them with us typically. And then Proverbs 25, verse 11, says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in settings of silver. Now think about that for just a minute. If somebody came to you and said, I want to give you this gift. What is this gift? It's a golden apple in a setting of silver. What a wonderful gift. I would love to be able to give to every teacher an apple of gold in a setting of silver. Now, this morning, teachers are going to be honored and recognized with something that symbolizes that. But wouldn't it be nice to be able to actually give that gift? Unfortunately, today, we don't have the resources to do that. But there's somebody who does. Each of us are going to receive a crown of life. And I suspect that somewhere on that crown is going to be an apple. It's going to be golden. It's going to be precious because God acknowledges and appreciates the things that we do in that particular arena. That crown is going to be very, very special. Of course, we teach in many different ways. We teach privately, we teach publicly, and you don't have to teach a Bible class to be a teacher, but this morning we're recognizing and acknowledging the people who are doing the teaching in the public Bible school program here. One of the things that will probably surprise you is how many of them there are, and that's a wonderful thing. I had my birthday this past week. Janice Peters was giving me a little advice about how to handle the birthdays. And she said, you know, if you'll just take how old you are and reverse the numbers, it'll sound better. You know, and you can just act like you're real forgetful now that you're aging. And she said, if you're 75, just say you're 57. I said, well, that won't help me much because I'm 66. I heard from all kinds of people last week. Insurance companies, airlines, restaurants, professionals. It was just so many different people. And I do want to thank several of you who remembered as well. But Terry got a text on her cell phone that was actually for me. It was a guy that I had mentored about 30 years ago. And he just reached out and said, I appreciate the time that we spent together in the past. And for just a moment, you're reminded of it does have influence. It is an opportunity. We are given a chance to really be part of this great process that God has set up. There are all kinds of ways where we cooperate with God. We cooperate with God in parenting. We cooperate with God in gardening and many, many others. But teaching is certainly that cooperative venture. And to all of you who do that, thank you. It's a very, very wonderful gift. This morning, we're also going to offer an invitation. If you have any reason why you need to respond to that, we'd be glad to help you as we sing this song together.